If you hear speaking in tongues, it's just the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast no Democrat candidate can plagiarize. And now, he might wear a mask someday, if he ever gets ugly enough. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it is almost Christmas Eve. Oh wait, it's exactly Christmas Eve. I hadn't looked at my clock. And we are ready to celebrate here at Medicare for the Lazy Man. Thank you, Drew McMillan, for that fantastic introduction. I don't know exactly what it was yet, but I'll hear it someday and I'll know that he did a great job. He is my Canadian nephew, who is also the host of Powerboat TV. And that's a Canadian show about powerboats. You can watch that on, or episodes of that show on powerboattv.com if you're a Yank and you're not allowed into Canada because you might be full of Wuhan flu germs. Anyway, so I'm Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, and we are running out the clock on 2020 and winding up our preparations for 2021. And to that end, we have released the Medicare for the Lazy Man book for the following year. It's got a big red 2021 on the cover. And often we do the shorthand version of explaining why we have this podcast by playing our 30-minute radio spot. Now, if you're a frequent listener of the spot, you'll notice that Randy's done some surgery on one element of information that used to be in the radio spot. So, Randy, wind that sucker up and put the needle down on it, and let's listen to it in all of its glory.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Beautiful, beautiful. You can't tell that it used to have a year from the distant mists of history buried in the middle of that. And we just, Randy took it out with his razor blade and his tape and performed surgery on it. And it sounds fantastic. Thanks for doing that, Randy. How are you today?
I'm good. I just thought I would point out, Doug, that I did that in three different versions.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I only heard one, but it sounds great to me.
There was a 33 and a third version.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 78 version.
Right.
And what would have been the other one?
Well, it would have been a 45.
You're right.
But, you know, when I was a kid, record players often had a 16 and two thirds speed. I never had anything that played that slowly.
No, I didn't either.
Some record players had that on their dial, their selection dial.
My grandparents, now this will tell you how old I am. My grandparents, not something they used on a regular basis, but in their home, they had an old Victrola that still cranked up.
Oh, boy.
You know, where you could hear where the dog, I don't know what his name was listening.
His master's voice.
Yes, yes. He was listening to the speaker and all that stuff, and you could crank it up and listen to that thing. And, you know, the crazy part about it, Doug,
what's that?
Is it wasn't that bad, you know, in terms of quality.
Right, right. And you would think that that thing would slow down and eventually as it ran down. But I think it kept up its speed and then just stopped. I'm not 100% sure, but I got the impression that it wasn't a function of how tightly you cranked the, or you wound it up.
I don't think so. There must have been some sort of a process where the spring was running a counterweight. And then the counterweight kept the thing going at a certain speed and keep it up to that speed until basically it was nothing.
Well, you know, when I used to go to my grandparents' houses, I would see things like brand new golf clubs and and caviar for dinner. And, you know, it was, they didn't have any wind up record players or
no crank yeah. Victrolas.
No.
Oh my God. You missed out on the whole deal then.
Well, I don't know. I got like, you know, good views of Lake Michigan and stuff like that, or got to go to Arizona a lot. So there was a trade off. There was a, is one of your reindeer is hyperventilating?
One of my reindeers is over here choking. His name is Smokey. He actually smoked when he was younger, and now he's paying the price. What?
So did you and I. We sound fine.
Yes, yes. I don't smoke anymore, but I coughed like a crazy person for years until I finally quit it. And once a year I would get sick with bronchitis. And so then I quit smoking, and fortunately, and I know it's a huge surprise to everyone on this podcast, I quit getting sick.
Wow. Darn it. So we found out the reason way longer. You had the cause, but you didn't find the connection until many years after you could have.
Who would have known that six packs a day would do that to you?
I don't know, but I'll tell you something. I learned a valuable lesson when I was smoking, and I worked in an office with about 20 other people, and I found out that when I smoked Marlboros, you know, with filters on them, that all the other smokers that were trying to quit would come to my office and bum cigarettes from me. But when I smoked Pall Malls with no filters, very manly cigarette, they would turn them down. They would say, "Can I bum a smoke?" "Yeah, here you go." "Oh, no, never mind. Sorry. Bye."
Well, there's two other ways to get that to happen, Doug. You probably know this, but for those people that are younger than us, there was another cigarette that nobody would ever touch with a 10-foot pole called English Ovals.
Oh, yeah. I love those, though.
Yeah, and nobody would ever bum one of those. And what was the other one? Players? There was another.
Yeah, those
one called-
were English. Those were English also.
Yeah.
I remember and that.
You were better off smoking. Well, I'm not sure. You could have been better off sucking on the end of a bus exhaust pipe than smoking a player, but I'm not sure.
Well, that's... You've just been summoned by one of the
somebody
reindeer.
Stepped on my reindeer's foot.
Well, I would say that the smoking experiences I had were basically I'm a creature of habit, so I did not change to cigarettes that had healthier properties like a lot of people did, going from non-filtered to filter as the years went by. But I did try a brand when I was told to quit smoking. A brand called Pall Mall Lights. And I thought, oh boy, these things would be great because it'll be like smoking, but it'll be like quitting because they'll be light. And so it turns out I smoked like 10 times as many of them. And this was an experimental brand put in a test market by Pall Mall. And so when I started buying these things, I didn't realize I was the only guy in the country buying them. And the first pack I opened and the first cigarette I pulled out, I thought, this thing is basically, it's got nothing in it. It's the paper wrapped around some pieces of wood and some grass clippings. And it was horrible. So I had to smoke a whole ton of them just to get the same amount of nicotine into my system.
I think, if I remember correctly, Doug, that was one of those test market cigarettes that if you knew there was something wrong with it, because if you smoked it down to the bottom and there was, you know, there was a cigarette length ash still hanging on the end of it, there was something in that wasn't good.
Oh, yeah. In some cases, it was alive. You could see it was like a beetle or something walking around in there. So, yeah, those didn't last very long. Those did not last very long. There was also a Walgreens drugstore. This back when I was in college in Tucson, Arizona. The manager of this Walgreens drugstore loved beer, and he somehow tapped into a source of oddball beers that nobody ever heard of anywhere else in the United States. So every Friday, coming back from my last class, I would pop in and buy a whole bunch of this stuff because it was never priced higher than 70 cents a six-pack. I think it was maybe in the neighborhood of 50 or 60 cents a six-pack. And it was beer like Bergie with an exclamation point and White Label. and Fox Deluxe. Every week it was a different weirdo beer that I never heard of before, and the White Label was the only beer I found that I couldn't even choke down, couldn't give it away to my friends. It was like Sneaky Pete's used to be when you'd mix beer and wine, which I never did, but teenage girls at parties used to do that a lot, and it was terrible. It was just terrible. But hey, I promised that we would get after it earlier. And we have had too much fun goofing around.
Well, I've got just one thing to add on the beer topic, Doug.
Please do. Please do.
You talk about beer that you really have to stick in there because it's in your roots to drink. Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know if this stuff is still made, but I couldn't choke it down. But a friend of mine is from Pennsylvania, and it was called Iron City Beer.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to say Rolling Rock, but I never heard of Iron City.
I don't think it made it out that far, but boy, I'll tell you, from what I hear Steve telling me, you had to be a man from Pittsburgh to drink this stuff. Otherwise, no, it would kidding. Kill you.
Well, I would not have qualified then. I was not that manly. There was a beer in Minneapolis called Grain Belt, and a friend of mine went to sheet metal school in Minneapolis, and he would bring back trunk loads of this Grain Belt beer because it was really cheap.
I'll bet it was. Well, I better let you get to some Medicare stuff here. We're jawing about beer, which makes me thirsty, yeah. But let's get after it.
All right, let's get after it. This is the first item that I dredged up from the bottom of the mailbag today. I put my falconry glove on and reached way deep down into the bottom where I know there are life forms down there and they'd like to chew on my fingers, but when I've got the thick leather gloves on, they can't get to me. And so this exchange took place in September, and it's from Joe. And Joe wrote, "Hi, purchased your 2019 and 2020 books. I have an agent who wants to sell me Part N. Your thoughts?" Well, Joe, I'm sure glad you brought the books. Thank you very much. And if you buy the 2021 book, I hope you leave a customer review. I hope you like it. Anyway, so you've got an agent who wants to sell you Plan N, because the Medicare supplements are called plans. You know, Plan G, Plan High Deductible Plan G. And so he wants to sell you Plan N. And what are my thoughts about that? Well, I will tell you what my response to Joe was. Thanks for writing, Mr. So-and-so. I do not object to Plan N at all, except for the fact that people who have frequent treatment of medical problems cannot accurately predict how much money they will have to spend during a particular year. Plans G and high deductible G, or as Randy and I call them, high value G, are simpler to understand. So those are the ones that I concentrate on. Plan high deductible or high value G is much less expensive than N and would be my choice if you are healthy and have very little interaction with doctors. Let me know if this is not what you're looking for and I will try again. And then, of course, I haul out the club and I start wailing on him. By the way, if you thought the book was helpful, how about leaving a short customer review on Amazon? That would not only help me, but potential future readers as well. Thanks. Now, Plan N has a per doctor's visit copay and some other stuff, too. So there are two things about Plan N that that cause me to overlook it. I'm looking at the simplest plans. The simplest plans are those that pay everything or that have the high deductible or high value moniker attached to them. Plan N is kind of in the middle, and so I don't stress it. On the other hand, Plan N is a Medicare supplement, which makes it so much better than a Medicare disadvantage plan that we would never frown or discourage somebody from buying a Plan N if that's exactly what they want. So our next correspondent wrote to us in September, and he says, "Where can I learn about the dental plan you offer?" And I said, "Attached is a brochure that describes the benefits and the costs. Be sure to let me know if I can help further." Well, that might be the dumbest letter I've ever put in the mailbag because, frankly, there is no content there.
If I remember correctly, Doug, you didn't even send him a toothbrush.
No, and I don't plan to either. He's got to add a little more content to the show before I'm happy to have him as a correspondent. Hello, what's your name, Doug? And I answered, Doug.
Doug, are you an insurance expert? Yep.
Yep, sure am. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's,
ladies and gentlemen, I apologize on behalf of Randy and I.
Like Larry the Cable Guy, that there is funny.
That's some funny stuff right there. Oh, I'm sorry for all the African children and whatever else he said.
Yeah. God all forgive right. me. What is it he says? Like, God forgive me. I'm going to go to hell for that.
It has to do with African children and him going to hell.
Yeah, it's something to do with all the starving African children. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Another correspondent from the mailbag. My agent suggested to buy high deductible plan G. I moved from California to South Dakota and see if that is on your map. I really like my doctor in California. So we got several thoughts bouncing around here. I'm not sure I understand, but this is Richard. He said his agent suggested to buy high deductible plan G. Well, first of all, I'd say that agent is a keeper, because whether or not you decide to follow his advice, at least his advice is designed to save you the maximum amount of money, assuming you're a healthy guy. And then he said he moved from California to South Dakota and see that it's green on your map. Maybe that was during the time you were turning all the states green, Randy. Then he says he really liked his doctor in California. Well, if you like your doctor, what'd you move to South Dakota for?
Okay, I'm confused now.
Yeah, so was I.
There's a whole lot of difference between California and South Dakota.
Yeah, including wintertime and communists that run the joint.
Yeah, well, there's that problem.
So anyway, I responded, that was good advice if you are reasonably healthy and not afraid of a small, limited risk. South Dakota will be turning green soon, but I will be happy to help you right now. If you will tell me your residence address, age, smoking status, and desired effective date for your Medicare supplement, I will be happy to act as your agent in acquiring your Medicare insurance. Looking forward to hearing from you. And frankly, this name sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not sure if I heard from him again or not. But at least that was a little bit more interesting than the prior letter, which is, what's your name, Doug?
Doug. You know, I moved to South Dakota from California, and I like my doctor in California, but it's a long drive.
Yes. Well, maybe you shouldn't have moved then. That would be my advice. Move back. If you like your doctor that much, move back to California. Okay, we've got a lengthy correspondence with a woman named Susan. I remember when this started. This started quite a while ago, but basically Susan said, well, she wrote a long time ago, but this is a whole new series of correspondence. So, what? Thanks for writing again, Mrs. Franklin. When we put the questionnaire on the website, that woke her up. From prior correspondence, she says, am I actually purchasing something here, or are you going to send me a list of choices? And I said, thanks for writing again. Your question was, am I actually purchasing something here, or dot, dot, dot. The answer is that I went through some of the best available choices and picked the one I think is most beneficial for you. If you agree with my recommendation, then we have to do an application that has lots of questions and must be executed absolutely perfectly. So I think what she was looking for was a Medicare supplement cost. In other words, what would I recommend based on her residence and her age and her smoking status and maybe her height and weight and all that stuff. So therefore, there will be some back and forth between us before everything is concluded. I would like to automate the process, but those days are off in the future somewhere. I checked three of the best companies that offer high deductible plan G or high value plan G in Ohio. Humana's monthly premium would be $50.88. Mutual of Omaha would cost $43.95. My favorite and the one I recommend is United American. Their monthly premium is $33. That's quite a savings there. In addition to some other advantages, United American will offer you an unrestricted opportunity to change to any of their other plans should you decide high deductible or high value plan G is not the best for you anymore. Unlikely to happen, but it's a nice little benefit offered by no other company that I'm aware of. In case you agree that United American is a good choice for your Medicare supplement, I will attach a lengthy questionnaire. I'm working on that. Will allow me to complete the paperwork for you. I will then send the paper application to you for signature and send it to the company for processing. In the meantime, you may have more questions, which I will be happy to answer, either in the form of email or over the telephone if you prefer. Also, I will attach some company info and legally required documents. Oh boy. The days of cutting down trees for all this stuff are gone, by the way. It's all electrons now. So anyway, you may either read, save, or completely disregard all of the legally required documents I'm about to send you. Once again, I'm very glad you wrote, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to act as your agent. So then she says, hi, and thank you. Then she goes on to another company. She says, any thoughts on the Lasso Optum option versus high deductible plan G? What Lasso is, ladies and gentlemen, is the Medicare MSA, or Medical Savings Account, which we've discussed in a couple of other podcast episodes. Plus, I've got a whole chapter about it in my latest book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. So she goes on to say, I hear they've changed their deposit and deductible for 2021. My goal is to limit cash leaving my checking account every month. So Lasso Optum makes sense there. But I worry that the Lasso Optum option will get weirder and more limited as years go by. Perhaps getting weirder and more limited over time applies to everything. I'll look over all your attachments this weekend. Thanks again. So there's plenty more where that came from. So I said, I generally love the MSA concept and would strongly recommend it to those who don't mind rolling the dice. If you decide that is the way you want to go, I would be happy to represent you in doing that. As you understand, being essentially a Medicare Advantage plan, it could undergo substantial changes over the years, turning it into something that would not be ideal for you. Possibly, but not really scary unless your health deteriorates to the extent that you could not qualify for a Medicare supplement anymore. Another factor, Medicare supplements will pay if the underlying Medicare coverage pays its share first. Doctors and specialists generally know whether there is likely to be a problem in getting a particular procedure approved. She might have asked, and I didn't include it here, about any particular treatment she might need that is considered to be special or maybe even experimental. So if the doctor that's going to do the procedure has checked with Medicare, the doctor's going to know whether it's going to be a problem getting covered or not. Participants in a Medicare Advantage plan with a dispute are going to have to deal with that plan during the appeals process. Maybe not a problem, but something to keep in mind. One of our podcast episodes dealt with the fact that investigations caught some Advantage plans denying permission for procedures or consultation with specialists. Only a tiny percentage of claimants pursued their appeals, and in 75% of the cases, the plans reversed their own denials. Apparently, knowing that there would be large savings because most of the claimants just gave up. Even so, the MSA concept, like Lasso Healthcare offers, is an appealing one. If you prefer to go that route, let me know, and I will be happy to help. If you need additional information about the Lasso plans, I can obtain brochures for you after October 1st, if that would help your decision process. And then I had to follow up again. Have you given any more thought to your Medicare supplement versus Medicare savings account quandary? I would like to think that my prior statement was helpful, but if you are having difficulty making up your mind, that might not be the case. I can represent both options, and I'm ready to assist you whenever you decide. And I think she just fell off the face of the earth. My last thing was a follow-up to her, and never heard an answer back. So I think she decided she didn't want to deal with old Uncle Boogie anymore. So that was the end. But it was nice while it lasted. How are we doing time-wise, Randy?
We're out.
Well, the good news there is that Santa Claus is that much closer to coming down my chimney.
We got to get this thing landed, because you know what happens if you're up and awake, yeah. Santa Claus yeah. passes you by.
Oh, boy. Well, we can't have that happen. So
thank you, everybody,
for joining us.
I've got a couple thoughts, though.
Share those thoughts with us.
You know, the Medicare disadvantage thing just continues to just trouble me to no end.
Wow. To trouble you. You don't even have one. Just think if you had actually bought one.
You know, but I did. And I did a little bit of investigation work, you know, talking about the, you know, they get 92% of them get rejected. And of those that come back at them and say, I think you want to reevaluate this, they go, oh, yeah, 75% of those get then approved. I saw right. the form letter that they actually send out for that Uh-oh. Secondary approval. You know what it says?
Ooh, boy. I don't know.
Oh, what darn it. Our bad.
Boy, that's a callous way to approach a huge mistake. How about all the other poor saps that are laying around in bed moaning in pain that never, you know, they got the rejection and they don't know that there's a process they can go through to appeal.
I know. I get it. I'm just continually beating on the fact that Medicare disadvantage plans, when you hear about anything like that, run the other way.
Well, sometimes I worry that we're a one-trick pony. But on the other hand, I think we're doing God's work. We're showing that there is a better way. We're showing the light that's at the end of the tunnel and helping people avoid problems, I hope. Anyway.
Okay, so I know you've answered this before, but once again, it popped into my head based on a comment you made in this podcast. So let's assume that I was really not thinking, and I signed up for a Medicare disadvantage plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just, this is a Midwestern expression. So just
Joe Namath got to you.
Namath got to me.
I was a big
fan of Joe's. And I just say, if Joe says it's good, it's gotta be good.
Right.
And then I found out, you know, after I signed up for it and, you know, it was a no premium, insurance policy. And I thought, this is good.
Cool.
This is good stuff. And then I found out that I couldn't get any service out of it. And I said, darn it. But that went on for, let's assume that went on for several years. And I was happy as a pig in deep mud.
Okay.
During that period.
Wait a minute. I thought you just described a scenario under which you were unhappy.
Well, I was happy up until I figured I needed something.
Okay.
As long as I didn't need anything, I was happy. So let's assume this went on for 5 years. Can you always, no matter what, get out of it a disadvantage plan into a real supplement? Or is there a point in time that you're done dealing?
Unless you live in certain states, your limitations are this. You turn 65, let's say, or let's say you retire from your employer at age like 90 or whatever you are. That means you're first eligible for Medicare at some point when you give up your other coverage. Then you have 1 year. If you sign up for an Advantage plan because Joe Namath talked you into it, or Mike Ditka sweet talked you, or any number of other stupid ads convinced you that was the right thing to do, you've got 12 months in which you can quit that Advantage plan and apply for a Medicare supplement and be guaranteed issue. Doesn't matter whether you got terminal cancer or whatever. If you let it go past 12 months, then you have to show evidence of insurability in most cases. Now, there are 4 states in New England where that's not always the case, and some other special circumstances. But mostly the easiest generality is that if you go for a year from your first Medicare enrollment for another 12 months under a Medicare Advantage plan, then you lose your right to switch to Medicare supplement without medical questions.
That's scary.
Yeah, but it's not scary until you get really sick. And then when you realize it, when it dawns on you that you have no choices, then you're kind of screwed.
Well, I heard that there was a bunch of people, you know, that are in the gravestone carving business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when they heard that, they just set up a bunch of blanks. And then, you know, down at the bottom, it said, what you know, so and so from 1919 to 1939, and then down at the bottom, either that or on the back, said had Medicare disadvantage.
Yeah, well, we know that they're going to be used. If those guys were in Illinois, I could help them. But in most other states, they're going to have to fill out a questionnaire that says, nope, I don't have any medical problems. And often it's too late. I've had that happen with friends of mine that want to improve their circumstances. And I have to tell them reluctantly, now fill out this questionnaire. Then they come back with a bunch of yes answers like, yes, I had this. Yes, I had that. And that means that it's the time has passed for them to take advantage of the superior Medicare supplement plan. So I just tell people, hey, do it from the get-go so you don't have to worry about it. Don't play around, because if you lose your options, then you won't be able to improve your circumstance, and you'll be calling your agent, because it won't be me. I'm not going to be selling anybody Medicare Advantage plans, but whoever sells that to you, you're going to be calling them all the time with complaints and disappointment. So
kids, listen closely to Uncle Doug. Listen very closely to Uncle Doug. Do not play with this topic. If you really want to do it, go up to the roulette wheel in Vegas, because it's the same freaking thing.
Yep. Just pick a color, pick a number, and have them spin that wheel for you. You might hit the jackpot.
You might. Or.
or more likely.
More likely, you're going to come up with bupkis.
Oh, boy. Well, land the plane.
That's a technical term. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And again, given the fact this is around the holiday season, we hope each and every one of you has a great holiday season and a good year coming up. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, who did what? He wrote a new book on Amazon.com. Go
just
buy
for
it.
You. Just for you, just ladies for and gentlemen.
Just for you. Go buy it. Go buy several, because the 2021 version is now out, and you really need to buy some. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you next time. And Doug, do you have any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and 2021 should be a great year. Those are my thoughts. Pretty vacuous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. I'll come up with something before the next time. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen.